Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, how Germany took down Team USA in this morning's semifinal match. Brian Windhorst, he is standing by with the latest coming from Manila. And Anthony Davis, he made his stance clear on playing center for the Los Angeles Lakers. Hear what the star big man had to say. We've heard this story before. Plus, is this the season that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown finally get over the hump? We talk everything Celtics in this jam-packed show. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. She is senior writer Ramona Shelburne. She is the one and only Roz Gold on Wude in the building. I'm Malika Andrews. Happy Friday, everyone. I think we're all ready for a little bit of weekend. You got any big plans this weekend, Roz? What are we doing?
I mean, just more WNBA.
Yeah.
I'm in Vegas.
This is a sports weekend. What about you, Ramona?
I got little kid birthday parties.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
I'm going to a little kid birthday party this weekend. Little kid birthday parties are good. Going to go see Les Mis tonight. I know, that's heavy.
Wow.
All right, that's heavy. I'm not going to lie. This fine Friday, though, it started out with a little bit of a bummer. Team USA not getting it done the way that we all expected, taking on Germany in the semifinals with a chance to play for the gold medal on the line. We knew that Dennis Schroeder would be taking this seriously. I did not know, though, Roz, that it was Wagner that was going to come out with a bang.
He got through the lane. He did it from inside and out, making his presence known.
Absolutely. And then Anthony Edwards, he's been having a tear on the world stage here, really putting teams on notice. That did not change in this one. Austin Reeves, hot from deep. You bet, Ramona.
I'm him, right? I mean, that's his line. And the Laker fans there, anything he does, they go nuts.
Melo in the building as well for this one. The turnovers, though, the execution, particularly late, really hurt Team USA.
And that's on offense and defense, just the inability to get it done when it mattered.
Franz Wagner getting hyped up there from Dennis Schroeder, but Schroeder says, don't worry, I can contribute too. You see this range, my friends? I got that. Once again, Schroeder going to work, this time against Paolo Banchero, elevates, gets it to go.
Dagger.
10-point game, final seconds of the third quarter here.
They made a run, though.
So we head to the fourth, where they did make things a little bit interesting. Anthony Edwards says, anything you guys can do, I still have something to say about. Goes all the way to the cup.
For a second, I thought he was going to take over.
It seemed like he was. Austin Reeves gets the three to go. All of a sudden, with 4:20 to go, this one gets interesting. Anthony Edwards, once again, this is when you're like, okay, maybe this is worth getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
There might be something to talk about here. But then Germany, once again, Tyrese Halliburton slips, and it is a costly error for Team USA.
Just didn't have enough defense. Look at this score.
And this right here, this is when I spilled my coffee all over my white blanket, when Jaren Jackson Jr. just couldn't quite get this catch. Germany wins 113-111. Now, the U.S. gave up 113 points on Friday against Germany. That is the most, my friends, they have ever allowed in any game at the FIBA World Cup. The previous record, well, it was this past Sunday when they lost to Lithuania while allowing 110 points. Our Brian Windhorst is there, and he caught up with Mikal Bridges following the loss.
Okay, I'm here with Mikal Bridges. Played a strong game, 17 points tonight. Obviously a very difficult way to lose. What are your emotions right now?
There's a better team tonight. We just didn't bring it how we wanted to. There was a better team for the whole 40 minutes.
We never expected to win. I guess year in and year out, we're expected to win just because of the history that USA basketball has had. We obviously didn't come to play ready to play from the start, but that's the opinion from the outside.
This team is very worthy of winning a championship, and we just didn't get it done. But you know, these games are difficult. This is this is not 1992 anymore, and so players are better all over the world. Teams are better, and it's not easy to win a World Cup or an Olympic Games.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like the rest of the world is caught up a little bit with the Americans. And German Hall of Famer Dirk Nowitzki, he could not be more excited. He jumped on social media. He celebrated a little bit this historic win for the German national team. And Brian Windhorst, he has more on the semifinal between Germany and the USA as we go back to Manila.
Hey, Malika, as you can imagine, there's a lot of disappointment here with Team USA after losing to Germany in the World Cup semifinals. They lost this really for one reason. They just didn't have enough size. There was some strategy issues. There was some logistical issues. There was some, you know, fouls early on in this game. Germany was hot at times, shooting from the outside, but really it just came down to they couldn't control possession. Right from the first possession of the game, Germany missed a three. They got a rebound, kicked it out, made a three-pointer. We saw that happen over and over. 25 second chance points for the Germans in a 40-minute game. Just not survivable. I've covered three World Cups. The U.S. has lost in all three of them, but I've never seen a team that's had this much togetherness, this much camaraderie, and this much really execution and effort, but they just weren't equipped to handle this size, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with going forward. We don't have a lot of size from the American rosters right now. We don't have much at center. We don't have much of power forward. That is a reality that USA is grappling with. They grappled with it coming into this. They grappled with it throughout it. And now they're grappling with it as they go to play for the bronze. Back to you in Los Angeles from here in Manila.
Brian, thank you. Roz, he alluded to it, but this set of numbers right here, it feels like a big reason the USA wasn't able to get over the hump. What did you see?
It's been the story of their entire tournament. The battle was lost on the glass. They gave up 12 offensive rebounds to Germany, and then Germany made them pay. They got 25 second chance points from that compared to the USA's 8. Let's take a look at some tape that shows where these breakdowns start to happen for Team USA. And unfortunately, this is the first defensive play for Team USA, so it sets the tone. And you look at Anthony Edwards here, eyes on the basket. He's not thinking about physicality or boxing out. In general, the U.S. missed opportunities to put contact on bodies. And therefore, Germany's able to get the offensive rebound. And now from this point on in this possession, Team USA is on the reactive. They're out of position for baseline help defense here. And look at Germany's patience after the offensive rebound. Four passes just to get this shot. And they ended up with 30 assists in the game, which is absolutely significant. You know, Malika, as a reporter, coaches often say to me, we need to be more physical. We need to play with more force. And that sounds very cliche. Where does that show itself, actually? Putting contact on the line of action and movement for the other team. Tice is wide open. I mean, he could, like, do a cartwheel and grab this offensive rebound. There's no contact or bodies put on them. And again, Germany out here showing poise after the offensive rebound. Three passes to get this shot. Sometimes after an offensive rebound, teams are in a rush. They want to throw that thing up there. But Germany made all the right plays to burn the U.S. And it's just no surprise that in the games that Team USA is out-rebounded, those are the ones that they lost. And that happened against Germany. That happened against Lithuania. And so in those two games combined, the Team USA has been out-rebounded by 18.
Right, and it feels like the narrative that we've talked about even since before play started, Roz, was, are they big enough? Do the Americans have that size? Is Jaren Jackson Jr. going to be able to stay on the floor? Is he going to get into foul trouble? And we know Steve Kerr, he talked also today about the lack of continuity that this group has and how when you look at other teams on the world stage where the talent has elevated, that just doesn't exist in the U.S., but it doesn't seem like it is going to. Is there anything else, Ramona, that you chalk this up to?
I mean, look, they did have some size. His name is Walker Kessler, and he was on the bench. Didn't play in this game. And so there's a lot of reinforcements coming. This will not be the team for the U.S. that plays in the Olympics in Paris in 2024. There's a lot of stars that are expected to join this team when they reconvene for Paris. But you know, inside, this is a stylistic choice. I mean, they had some size options if they wanted to go that way, but they chose to play small. Like, Banchero is the backup five there. Mm-hmm. And when they're playing small, then you have to play fast. You have to play with pace, which is why you see a score that's that high. But if you're not able to rebound, if you're giving up all these second chance points, if you don't have a threat inside where they're afraid going to the rim, look at how easily they're scoring at the rim there. Then this, you cannot play small. Jaren Jackson Jr. had everything on him because he's the one big out there that is a presence inside, and it just wasn't enough. But I don't know. I'm thinking about Paris, and I know we get to see U.S. and Canada in the third place game, but there's some interesting players for the U.S.
Sure,
right. That could be on that. I mean, Joel Embiid.
Could he, or may he?
Cleveland.
Go also.
Rams.
We're going to get to that a little bit later.
Anthony Davis.
Before we even get to like Paris, I'm still looking at the bronze medal game coming up.
Yeah. Canada and USA. Canada. Yeah.
It's not the matchup we necessarily wanted to see between those two teams, but we're going to get it nonetheless. Yeah.
Yes, and I think actually it's interesting because, you know, we've had the storyline of Team USA and they're going up against these like grizzled veteran European teams that understand FIBA basketball and are playing together forever. Canada-USA is a matchup of the young boys in the NBA. These are the young guys who just got their first All-Star nod, some of them getting their first big paycheck. These are guys who are going to be competing this season for all NBA team spots, for All-Star nods. I actually think this is a nice little bragging rights game of the young guys of the NBA. This is like a summer NBA run.
Right.
And so I think, you know, there's a lot for Team USA pride-wise to make sure they get this done.
Oh, absolutely. And this is not a game that they can take for granted. They've learned that going through this FIBA tournament, that they can no longer overlook some of this talent on the international stage. And I know we talk so much about how Team USA, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's the A-minus team, maybe it's the B team, whatever it is that you want to term it. Well, Giannis isn't out there either.
Jokic isn't out there either.
Well, Jamal Murray isn't out there either. So we're going to see that added talent on the world stage as well, likely in Paris in 2024. So I agree with Roz. I know what I'm doing this weekend. Right. I am tuning into that bronze medal game because it is going to be something to behold. We're not done talking about FIBA here on NBA Today on this Friday. Still to come on our show, though, there's no denying, right, Roz, the impact that Anthony Davis has on the success of the Los Angeles Lakers. But he has some very, very strong feelings on where he wants to be playing. You're not going to want to miss his comments. And, I mean, Ramona, is this a make or break year for the Celtics? Jason Tatum, I know he had some thoughts. You were able to speak to him yesterday. We have more from that conversation coming up later in the show. Plus, with the WNBA regular season wrapping up this weekend, who should be the favorite for MVP? I know that this is the question that voters are losing sleep over. We're going to try to help them coming up.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, this is Brianna Stewart, and this is year 8.
Her first basket as a pro in the WNBA.
I was built for these moments.
Brianna Stewart shining and Seattle benefiting.
Brianna Stewart is just a walking bucket.
Welcome, Stu York.
Joe makes it look easy.
And she's having a lot of fun.
Gobbled up by Stewie.
Stu York, welcome to Brooklyn.
Embrace the greatness.
I can't believe that I've been in the league for 8 years. Crazy, really, all the time that I had in Seattle and now to be in New York. Really appreciative of all the teammates that I've come across and the ones that I'll continue to play with. The league is a special place, and I'm happy to be here.
All right, my friends, speaking of Stewie, let's check in on a big one last night between the Sparks and the Liberty. Brianna Stewart, we're showing you her at the beginning because she is her, and it's for this reason. This bucket right here in the second quarter cuts into the paint for that easy layup. She became the first player to score 900 points, Roz, in WNBA history.
So many records. Every game, it's a new Liberty player record.
Yeah. Well, in this one, it was needed. Liberty down 11. Courtney Vandersloot finds Sabrina Ionescu. Sabrina's 122nd three. That passed Diana Taurasi, for most in a season in WNBA history. So history all over the place in this game.
How about that three from Dolson, who ended up being like the Liberty's saver off the bench?
Five for five from three, but Sabrina says,
I got some too. The Liberty get the win. Let's take a listen to what the post game sounded like.
I mean, Steph hit like 5 threes, so that was. We wanted to get back to playing Liberty basketball. Obviously, LA is a great team, but we wanted to continue to fight. And maybe it's not going to be the first, second, or third quarter, but eventually, you know, we try to wear down on teams.
All right, so the Liberty, they've not just been winning. I feel like we can't just call them that. It's disrespectful. Their eight-game winning streak, New York has outscored opponents by 127 total points. The next closest team in that span, it would be the Aces. 91 points is where they're clocking in behind that. Back now here with Ramona Shelburne, Roz Gold on Wode, the Stars. They balled out for the Liberty last night. They improved to 32-7. Brianna Stewart had another monster performance. You're locked in on all things WNBA here, Roz. What stood out to you the most from that game as we inch now really towards the playoffs?
Oh, well, from that game in particular, I mean, just the Liberty's depth on display again. Of course, it starts with Stewie, her productivity, her scoring, but also the efficiency she's doing it with. You got 10 assists from Courtney Vandersloot. She stirs this pot. She's whatever this team needs. In this particular game against the Sparks, it's Benaja Laney. It's Stephanie Dolson with 5 threes off the bench that helps the Liberty pull out a game against the hungry Sparks team that almost could have, should have probably even won this. And then Sabrina Ionescu, who finds her shot in the second half and now has sealed and become the single season 3-point leader, and she breaks Diana Taurasi's record. And I think this is pretty cool. So I had their game last Sunday. I'm talking with Coach Brundello of the Liberty.
Yeah.
She last coached for the Phoenix Mercury, so of course she coached Diana Taurasi as well. And she told me that Sabrina is starting to remind her of Diana Taurasi. I think these are huge words. She said, you know, Sabrina's added range, quick release to her 3-point shot. She has the passing and vision of Diana. But biggest thing, she shares the same competitive fire as Diana Taurasi, who we all know is one of those like killer instinct type players. So I found that to be incredibly huge words to come from Coach Brundello about Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah, a huge compliment there. But you mentioned the depth, and we've been talking about the super teams that have been blooming in the WNBA. When you look at the Aces, when you look at the Liberty, depth really is what sets them apart. And Stewie was on fire. Yeah. What do you think that her impact has been since she's come to the Liberty?
When I watch her, I just think about Kevin Durant when he was on the Warriors. I mean, this is, when you watch Sabrina Ionescu, you can say Diana Taurasi. I see Steph Curry out there, that quick release, and the way she plays, the way the defense has to react to her. But like Stewie can do anything, and I think what she said there that was so that resonated with me is they have to get back to playing Liberty basketball. Well, they know what that is now. Yeah. It took them a while to find what Liberty basketball is, but they have an identity now. And when you are peaking at this point in time, when you're peaking heading into the playoffs where you have an identity, where everybody knows their roles and how they need to play, plus they have optionality, as you were talking about earlier, Roz, like this is a dangerous team. And I think we had all thought, you know, is this, are they getting around into form quick enough to compete with the Aces? Yeah. They are.
But is the MVP on this team? That is the question that voters all over the place are asking. And so who is actually the MVP? Before we answer that, I just want to take a look at the odds, just so everyone understands just how close all of this is. The ballots for the 2023 season awards, they are due on Sunday night. We have Brianna Stewart. We have Alyssa Thomas. We have Asia Wilson. They've all put together historic seasons. They've all catapulted their teams to the top of the WNBA standings. Are you ready, Roz?
Oh, Lord.
Can I start with you here?
Well, I'll start with just pointing out the dark horse there on Alyssa Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, this is somebody, it depends on how you define your MVP, which is a conversation on NBA or WNBA.
Yep.
If it's who is doing the most with the least, you probably say Alyssa Thomas. You look at the historical significance of her triple doubles, what she's doing with assists and rebounds, and a team that has lost Bree Jones and has a new head coach and has her team right there in contention for a championship. Alyssa Thomas is right there. Now, if your definition is best player on the best team, well, then the Aces and the Liberty are right here if you're looking at just record alone. But the Liberty, they won the Commissioner's Cup. The way they're finishing the season strong, they're on an 8-game win streak. So I'm looking at the Liberty. I'm looking at Stewie, who just became the single season scoring record holder, beating out Diana Taurasi. I'm looking at her productivity, her efficiency, her dependability, her 40-point games, which matches that of Asia. And to bring up Asia Wilson, she's on the defensive end, also anchoring everything that the Aces do. I'd like to point out that Stewie's consistency as a rebounder and also the emergence of Jonquel Jones has helped the Liberty
Liberty's improvement on defense to make them the team that they are right now, fighting for that number one seed. So I'm saying, I know you're going to press me and be like, oh, what do you got, Roz? I see it in your face, Malika.
There was a smile that was slowly creeping across.
I knew you were like, okay, I love all that, but who do you got? I mean, I think right now, with the way the Liberty are moving, I think Stewie's got the momentum for the MVP.
I think Stewie was in front for the MVP, and then Asia, I think she was being taken for granted for most of the season because the Aces were so dominant that she wasn't even playing fourth quarter some of the time. Well, they let her play now, and she's had a couple of big games towards the end here. Or I actually think, because I think Stewie was in front, I think Asia's closed the gap here. And I'm so glad you point out Alyssa, because she's had such a great year. And in terms of doing the most with the least, like, she should be getting a much longer look than she probably is getting from voters. And so it really should be a three-horse race. And I'm interested.
Press her.
I think it's going to be a really close vote here. I think Stewie's going to end up coming out of this because she is the new player on the new team here, and they have finished very strong.
I appreciate all of the context that both of you all gave to your answers. It seems like it would be hard to not vote for Stewie at this point, but I appreciate that. That was very informative. And
all
very
are deserving.
Yeah, all are deserving. And it seems like right now it would be hard not to vote for Stewie.
That Commissioner's Cup helped.
We do have another WNBA game. It's on Sunday. It's on ESPN2. It's the last day of the regular season. Where has time gone? The Aces, the Mercury. That one begins at 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. All right. Let's stick in Los Angeles here, because coming up on NBA Today, Anthony Davis, he is the center of attention, and I do mean that literally, after his comments about what position he would like to play next season. But don't we all remember 2020? All right, Brian Windhorst, he also looks ahead. We're already looking forward to 2024 and the Olympics, what the roster could look like for Team USA. Plus, just hold on, we're going. Well, it's a Phoenix. It's good. Because Drake, he said.
Screaming.
Yeah. That's where he might want to spend some time this season. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Malika.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a crushing finish for the Lakers.
If you're going to legitimately compete for a championship, you have to dissect what you have and you don't have.
We want to fit the puzzle together in a way that'll help us compete for championships.
Rob Pelinka and the Lakers are doing exactly what the hell they're supposed to be.
4-year max extension with guard Austin Reeves.
D'Angelo Russell has agreed to return.
Torian Prince.
Gabe Vincent.
Jackson Hayes.
Rui Hachimura.
3-year, $51 million extension.
Cam Reddish.
Christian Wood.
Now you're contending and you're still building for the future. They're right in the thick of things where they need to be.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Let's talk a little bit about the purple and gold. We are joined now by our reporter who covers the Lakers for ESPN, Dave McMenamin. Dave, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about the offseason that Rob Pelinka and the Lakers have put together. Obviously, Christian Wood, the latest move that they have made. But you penned a story that's up on ESPN.com right now that details what Anthony Davis hopes for this season positionally. What more can you tell us about that?
Malika, ever since Anthony Davis arrived in Los Angeles, that initial introductory press conference, he told us, and anyone was willing to listen, that he does not love playing the five all that much and likes to have more minutes at the four. Last season, according to Cleaning the Glass data, he played 99% of his minutes at the five. He let it be known to the Lakers brass that, hey, I want to be a part of this organization moving forward. I love my time with the Lakers. This was the conversation going into the contract extension he signed this summer, but get me some help at the five. You look at last year's playoffs, you saw, you know, 5 minutes per game for Tristan Thompson, 3 minutes per game for Wenyen Gabriel, and Mo Bamba pretty much missing the entire playoffs. Anthony Davis had no help there at the five, other than spot minutes where you saw Rui Hachimura play the stretch five. And so by getting Jackson Hayes, by getting Christian Wood, you're going to allow Anthony Davis to get some more time throughout the regular season to play his preferred position. That doesn't mean that in the fourth quarter of a close game, you're not going to see Anthony Davis at the five. That doesn't mean in the playoffs, you won't see him playing 99% of his minutes at the five. But this allows him to feel comfortable going through the 82-game grind, similar to the way he had JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard and won a championship.
Absolutely. It feels like the conversation, especially now that there's that three-year extension tacked on for Anthony Davis, has been, well, he needs to be on the floor. The Lakers really need him to be at the best that they can be if they want to reach their potential. All right, before we let you go, Dave, we have also talked. Kendrick Perkins has already given Rob Pelinka the gold star of the offseason, but what is the actual mood inside the Lakers organization now that we're about a month away from training camp?
Yeah, Malika, I checked in with some folks in the organization after they basically buttoned up their offseason work by agreeing to terms with Christian Wood. And the feeling is one of optimism and certainly confidence, knowing that they're able to bring some continuity into this season based on that group that really put together a tremendous run from the trade deadline on through the Western Conference Finals. But they don't want to get too far over their skis. They recognize that they beat a banged up Memphis team in the first round. Certainly Ja Morant dealing with that hand injury and Steven Adams not being in the lineup. You'd have Brandon Clark in the lineup as well. And then the Warriors team that they beat, it was coming off a seven-game series against the Sacramento Kings, and perhaps were a little gassed there. And then, of course, you lose in a sweep in the Western Conference Finals. So all those things combined make the Lakers believe that, hey, we're right there. We still got work to do to get to where we ultimately want to be, which is holding up the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Right. Back to the Western Conference Finals is not what this organization has in mind. Dave McMiniman, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us here on NBA Today. All right, let's dive a little bit further into the moves the Lakers have made this offseason, because it seems like they've gotten better. But here's the deal. So has the rest of the West, as we say hello once again to Ramona Shelburne, to Roz Gold on Woody. But I want to go back to Just a little bit. We've talked a lot about Anthony Davis and Anthony Davis at center and how some of the Lakers' most successful lineups are when Anthony Davis plays at center. And it is nothing new that Anthony Davis doesn't necessarily want to play at center. He's been saying this the last couple of years. And yet, here we are again with reinforcements here. Ramona, you are laughing, so go ahead.
I mean, did we not end the season talking about this? I don't like, if he's not the center, then who is? Because they were playing Nikola Jokic in the Western Conference Finals. Here's what you do. Put him at the center, but just don't call it that. Jared Vanderbilt, you're the center. LeBron James, you're the center. Anthony Davis, you play power forward. But essentially, he's the center, because if you look at the numbers, their best five-man lineup is always when Anthony Davis is playing center. Like, you have Anthony Davis as the five, he is dominant. That is a dominant five-man lineup when he plays in that role. And I understand from a health perspective, maybe when you don't want to bang against Nikola Jokic or Steven Adams, but Joel Embiid. But how many games a year is that?
Right.
I mean, they are so much better when he is in that role. So just call it something else. I've talked to coaches on their staff. Just call somebody else the center. Give him a different name.
Yeah, play a little mind game with him. Yeah. Let him believe
you're not the host, you're the presenter.
I could do that.
But she's hosting the show. You know, the whole thing around Anthony Davis, regardless of what position he's actually playing at or what title he's being given, it is always and always has been about his availability. Mm. So this Lakers team, full stop, is going to go as far as Anthony Davis is available and also the health of LeBron James. Full stop. Then I also believe that, of course, like I think Rob Pelinka in the last season and also during this offseason has done really well with the resources he has to like re-bolster this roster and a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals. But for me, and when I see teams that
come back and really make a run at the title, it's always about the development of returning players. Mm. And you'll see that as a consistent theme for championship teams. So let's look at Austin Reeves,
right,
who's playing in the FIBA World Cup, representing Team USA.
Huge new contract.
Guys, the contract, the validation, the confidence that comes from playing on a world stage, representing USA, the experience, the maturity that comes from that. I think that is so valuable for Austin Reeves. And if it's valuable for him, it's going to be great for the Lakers.
Right. I just go back to the number that Dave said. 99% of his minutes he played at center, yeah. Anthony Davis did last year. And all of that is good, well, and fine if he's also able to stay healthy. So having some reinforcements potentially, yeah, helps him with that best ability, which is availability that you talked about, Roz. Okay, if we're talking about the Lakers, then the flip side of that coin in the Eastern Conference is who? It is the Celtics. So let's talk about them a little bit, because there is an article right now for the Messenger Sports in which Jason Tatum, he opened up about the Celtics' struggles a little bit, and he also talked about playing with Jaylen Brown. So here is what he said. He said, quote, "I'm still 25. Which is like, pause for
amazing.
1 second. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yep.
And he, meaning Jaylen, will be 27 in 2 months. So we're far from perfect. We won't ever get the credit we deserve until we actually win a championship. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We've been to the playoffs every single year. We've gotten better. And yes, it took some time to figure out how we can actually be as special as we can be and how we can coexist and do it together. We're going to talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. And we are due to get over the hump."
Ooh.
I think that's fair to say that they are due to get over the hump. When you look at the Eastern, yeah, Conference right now, Ramona, yeah, the Bucks, they're still pretty good. They're still up there. No one's counting out the Miami Heat, particularly because there's this huge Dame-sized elephant in the room. But Boston is still right there. And you're called me the presenter because Jason Tatum is actually the host. He was sitting in this chair for a little bit, for a couple of hours yesterday. You had a chance to talk with him.
Yeah.
What did you learn about how he is seeing this season?
Well, guess what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are doing this summer?
Mm.
Working out together. They're here in Los Angeles, and they've been training together a lot this summer, trying to just work on their own games, but also together, because this is the team now. I mean, I think there's a period that they're all in right now, which is just sad to see Marcus Smart go. They're all getting over that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of a Celtics reunion this weekend. Marcus Smart's getting married out here in L.A. They're all going to see each other. But this is a different team now. And one of the things I talked to Jason about yesterday was when Marcus Smart's not there, point guard-wise, it's probably going to be him a lot. And that's the role he played during the playoffs of distributing. He's going to be in that role. And he's also this summer been working on step-back threes, because that's an area that he can work on in his game. But they look at it and they know last year was not where they want to be. Mm-hmm. They need to get over the hump, as he says. And I think they're looking very critically at the small things that they can be targeted in getting better at this summer.
But aren't they a team now, Roz? They're 57 and 25 record last season. So they're a team. They have graduated, in my mind, to being judged in the playoffs. It's no longer the regular
100%. Season. And I actually think it's really self-aware and mature of Jason Tatum to sit here and say, we've got to get over the hump.
Yeah.
And I think that's for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown now lead the way, not just as being young guys that can produce stats. You know, they've got to be culture setters, too, and really set the tone. You mentioned Marcus Smart. They leaned on him to do a lot of the toughness and defensive culture setting. Even the fire of Grant Williams isn't there anymore. And no, like, Jason Tatum's not a rah-rah guy, but they've got to find ways that they're being leaned on even more beyond just the stats.
Yeah.
They still have Al Horford, who, when I covered this team all the way through the playoff run, sitting outside of their huddle, anytime there was pressure, it was Al Horford's voice stepping up. Yep. I'm also looking at Derek White to set the tone for the guards on defense. His shot blocking ability is really impressive from there.
There's been some changes to the coaching staff. They've had some moves, obviously, to their roster. You mentioned Grant Williams. Obviously, Marcus Smart is going to be very interesting. I like that fit in Memphis. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get closer to the season. You mentioned the lack of rah-rah guys. I feel like Drake might be a little bit of a rah-rah guy potentially for the Phoenix Suns. He wants to join the team. He wants to join the crew. We're going to tell you about his big plans and if they include him moving to Phoenix. I mean, you only live once, right?
I mean, a snowbird. Is that how we describe it?
Nice weather.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE.
That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Ramona Shelburne, Roz Gouldenwoude, Malika Andrews with you. And ladies, I don't get to say that very often, all women on this show. It is time for one of our favorite summer segments. How long are we going with summer? Like, it's the 21st.
It's after Labor Day.
21st of September.
It's training camp, though.
Exactly. We're going to go with some hot summer mics. And first up, I am singing poorly because Drake is going to start us off. He made a very bold proclamation. Take a listen.
I told my manager, my best friend too, I told him when tour is over, once I get my birthday out of the way, I'm going to come live in Phoenix for like a month. Come see my brothers, who you know, you see I got the new D books on tonight, you see I got the new D on tonight, I'm out here crying because, oh, hey.
And that is an outfit that he made that proclamation in. Thoughts, Roz? And there you go.
No, it absolutely would not surprise me to see Drake taking some time, a residency, if you will, to live in Phoenix. He is such a big basketball fan.
Huge.
And his friends are on the team. He wants to see them play. Fine, that's lovely to see him there. But isn't Drake supposed to be an ambassador for the Toronto Raptors?
Captain Toronto.
Aren't the Raptors practicing in the OVO, like, practice facility or center or something? I've got to put a call into Masai because I'm like, is this a more bigger indictment of what the Raptors or the state of Raptors basketball right now, that Drake's about to book it to Phoenix?
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's like loyalty in the NBA, right? It's loyalty, right?
He's player empowerment, fan empowerment.
There you
go.
Fan empowerment era.
Friends with D-Book.
It's the fan empowerment era. Okay.
Is he giving those remarks in Phoenix at a tour date?
Right? I mean, the crowd reception seemed to.
Don't forget Drake as a whole adult practice with the Kentucky basketball team.
A whole adult.
So, like, I mean, this guy lives out his basketball dreams and fantasies with the NBA. And honestly, you have to be a certain level of superstar.
Yep.
To do that in Drake
camp. As soon as he put Doris Burke on a t-shirt, I said, anything you can do no wrong. All right, next up, Jonathan Kuminga. He had some really, this is just nice, guys. Hear what he had to say about Steph Curry.
He comes to the gym the same way he act at home, same way he act on the floor, same way he act at practice. He don't get into any problem. He speak to everybody. Like, yeah, he's going to start a conversation, even if you don't want to. He's going to come find you and talk to you. So that's a lot of things that people don't see behind the scene, because all I see is him hitting threes and stuff like that. But he's the best human being I've ever really been around.
That he's ever been around.
Wow.
Like, that's like a lovely thing to say. Roz, you spent a lot of time with this Warriors team. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think Steph has a great ability of making people feel seen and special. Like, you'll have a conversation with him 2 years ago, and then you'll see him again, and he'll mention the family member that you mentioned that time.
Yeah.
He has the same energy for the president of the organization or a usher in the building.
Yep.
He, unlike a lot of celebrities and superstars, you are really having a moment with him. He makes eye contact with you. He's listening. He's talking to you. You never feel small with Stephen Curry, and that is a really beautiful skill to have.
Also, thing Jonathan Kuminga saying that matters, because you know his background, and when he came to this country, he needed guidance, he needed friends, he needed community, and the fact that Steph Curry was that for him says a lot about Steph Curry with all he has going on, both personally, professionally, with his family, with his foundations, with his political ambition, with all of this stuff. I mean, he has a lot going on, that he took the time to put his arm around Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Not to mention that for him,
who's had his own ups and downs on the court, trying to find his niche, his role with this Golden State team. I remember taking my little cousin to a Warriors game at one point, and all he wanted was to meet, you know, Steph and Clay. Yeah. And it was before a game. Steph's going through his warm up. You know, all these guys are super locked in, and yet he still took just a couple of minutes to say hello. And he still talks about that. And it is a full year later, and it's like this was a highlight for this young man. All right, the gold medal, it's going to be handed out on Sunday, so we're going to take a look at that. But it's also not the only hardware that's at stake this weekend. UFC 293, it's Saturday night from Sydney, the main card. It begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view with the prelims at 8 o'clock. All right, coming up on NBA Today, Team USA fell to Germany in the FIBA World Cup semifinals today, but the team is going to look a little bit different for the Paris Olympics next year. You're not going to want to miss what Brian Windhorst has to say.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're watching NBA Today.
All right, the FIBA World Cup final stage is set. Serbia taking on Germany for the gold. Serbia has three players currently on NBA rosters, led by Bogdan Bogdanovic. Meanwhile, Germany has four NBA players on its roster. Now, this is how it all went down. Germany's going to be riding high after their 113-111 win over Team USA. The Germans had six players score in double figures, including 20-plus points from Dennis Schröder, from Franz Wagner, and then Anthony Edwards. He continued his strong play. He scored 23 points to lead to Team USA. It just wasn't quite enough. They couldn't get a stop, and giving up the most points the American squad has ever given up in FIBA play. Now, despite being the odds-on favorite entering the tournament for a second straight World Cup, Team USA will be returning home without a gold medal. Steve Kerr, he was asked if continuity is an issue for this team.
Steve, throughout this tournament, you've mentioned the challenge of bringing together 12 guys in 5 weeks, the counteracting that of playing these national teams that have been together year after year after year. Can you kind of find a way to get this program to have more continuity year after year when it kind of seems like that has been a theme and a struggle throughout this tournament?
I'm not sure how you would do that if you want to ask the same 10 guys to play every summer. I think that's very unrealistic. I love being part of USA basketball. I think our players really enjoy it as well. And part of the deal with USAB is you pass the baton on to the next coaching staff, the next group of players, and it's different than most countries, but we're unique in that we have a deep talent pool and a lot of very worthy players. And I think those players and coaches all deserve to have the honor of wearing this USA jersey.
All right, maybe what Team USA is lacking is some sort of continuity, because entering this tournament, nobody on Team USA's roster had any appearances in international play at all. So Brian Windhorst, he has more from Manila about the future of Team USA.
Okay, Malika, let's take a moment and look ahead for Team USA. And I don't just mean till Sunday's bronze medal game against Canada. Let's look ahead to next summer and the Paris Olympics. Already there was a feel out there that some of the big names in the NBA who haven't been playing are looking to go play in that big event, obviously in Western Europe. So I think you're going to see, especially after this disappointment, that you see even more of that, specifically big men. Anthony Davis is a guy who potentially, if he's healthy, could return to Team USA. He would be extremely important as a big man for this team. Joel Embiid will be a name that you will hear with Team USA for months. He is eligible to play for either France or the United States in the Olympics. He has to choose one or the other. Both sides are recruiting him. Obviously, his size would be a game changer. But not just the big men. I think LeBron James is a guy who could consider playing in his last Olympics. He has not played since London in 2012. Steph Curry, as you can imagine, playing for Steve Kerr would be potentially his last chance to play for the Olympics. He's played in the World Cup. He has never played in the Olympics for the United States. Kevin Durant is one of the most decorated Americans playing for the team ever. If he wanted to play, he definitely would be able to be invited back. And I think you could see quite some competition to get onto that roster. That is something that we will see unfold over the coming months. And frankly, after this team came up short, something that is going to be badly needed when it comes to an influx of talent. Back to you in LA.
So, social media users, they're already forming some potential American lineups for the next iteration of Team USA. But LeBron, he appears to maybe like what he sees at the center of that image. So, Brian seems to be optimistic, right? There's going to be an influx of talent for Team USA. Joel Embiid, obviously game changer, particularly his size. But if there is one player, just one, that you would like to see on Team USA in Paris, who would it be, Ross?
I don't want to seem predictable, but it's Steph! It's Steph in
first. Are we going to see it finally?
He hasn't played in the Olympics yet, so I think this is something like, for a legacy conversation, it would be huge. What would we be saying about Steph if he was able to add an Olympic gold medal? He's already been a champion, an MVP. He just added finals MVP recently, greatest shooter of all time. It'll be, at minimum, exciting basketball. How about you?
I want to see KD again. I mean, to me, he has the potential to be this Carmelo-like figure for them, where he goes there. But really, Brian said it. Joel Embiid is the biggest wild card for anybody, okay? He's going to play for France. He can play for the U.S. I think if he plays, I think it's probably going to be the U.S., but let's see if he plays. Let's see how the Sixer season goes. Let's see where his health is. He's the game changer for whatever team he suits up for.
When I was posed this question in the newsroom, I stood up and I said, oh, Steph! And they said, oh, it's Ross's answer. I said, yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense. It's Steve Kerr's for his coaching. Yep. It's his coach. This is his time. But I'm going to rep for the young guys. I think that Anthony Edwards is the future. He embodies the future of USA basketball here. He has been excellent on the world stage thus far with no experience, and I would like to see him get a shot with the quote-unquote A squad, because I feel like he has all the makings to be the face of the NBA. He has the pizzazz, he has the personality, he has the play, he has the ability to be the number one option, and I would like to see that be rewarded on Team USA. I think that could be a whole lot.
I'm with you. I think they got more out of him than they were expecting.
Absolutely. And we were talking about the guys who made a leap in FIBA. Yep. Yes, we talked about Austin Reeves, but the Timberwolves, they really got something special with this summer for Anthony Edwards. All right, we'll be back in just 60 seconds. The NFL kicked off with a bang last night. I mean, the Lions, right? They stunned the Chiefs. But look what's going on in the sports world this weekend. It is jam-packed. I don't even know what I should start with, what I'm going to have to tape, what I'm going to need to come back to. So, Ramona, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going off the board. Stanford USC for me to pick the last time.
Oh, yeah, that's my Stanford women over
Stanford.
Here.
We can do it. We can do it. Okay, no, but the real answer is the U.S. Open. Coco, we got that's the answer.
Coco Gauff, I mean.
Yeah.
19 years old?
I know.
Very
She's
impressive.
Ready.
I just came here, a little humble brag here. I just came here from the U.S. Open.
Did you get one of those? What are the
Honey Deuce Cup?
Yeah.
I got my Honey Deuce Cup, I do.
okay.
And I've become a big Coco and Carlito fan as well. I love Carlos.
You put a little Carlito.
Carlito. Vamos, let's right. go. But I have my eyes on the WNBA. You know I'm going to. Because the top seed and the final seed for the playoffs are kind of up for grabs here today. If Chicago wins today, they're in at the 8th spot. And our LA Sparks right here in LA, they'll be out. And the Liberty have a shot at the number one seed. They would need some help from the Aces and maybe even the Lynx to pull it out. The Aces have two more games, and guys, it's against the Phoenix Mercury, who have lost 9 in a row. They're at the bottom of the league. I just don't see the Aces blowing this to finish the season.
Yeah. There's WNBA wrapping up this weekend. There's going to be a lot of great games across sports, the board. Roz is going to be in the building. For me, I mean, I know. Mark Spears summed it up perfectly when he said this isn't the matchup, this isn't the way we wanted to necessarily see the U.S. versus Canada. Mm-hmm. But that is going to be an excellent game. It's the game that we have all been waiting for, even if it is. Why is it that when it comes to Team USA, all of a sudden we all switch to we? Like, I'm like, oh, we are in this, and we are playing. And, yeah, but I'm not making the pass. I'm not turning it over.
Oh, no. They need me.
Oh, yeah. Russ, like, I'm going to be out there.
It's the young boys, though, of Canada, the young boys of Team
USA. It's for pride. It's for bragging rights.
And that gold medal game is going
to
be fun, too.
Yeah, the gold medal game is going to be excellent. All right, that is going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Enjoy your weekends. We're going to see you back here on Monday on ESPN 2, ESPN the rest of the week. We will see you then. Can I borrow that cup?